Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to Bible Talk, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri. We're located just northwest of the new shopping center on North Belt Highway. We would like to invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. for Bible study, 10:20 for worship, and 4 p.m. in the afternoons for worship. We also meet Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. I began discussing a couple of weeks ago concerning the one true church, and we looked at some passages to start our study that we must always understand that when we're seeking truth, we cannot add to or take away from the truth that God has given to us. All of us that are alive on this earth today have been born into this environment almost 2,000 years after Jesus Christ walked upon the face of this earth. The only rule that we have, the only guide, the only map that we have is the Word of God, the Bible. And in the New Testament, which we're going to be judged by in the last day, we find the pattern of the one true church that Jesus Christ came to this earth to build. And he said in Matthew 16:18, "I will build my church." Notice that he didn't say he came to build churches, but he came to build his church. So as we study our New Testaments, we seek for the information throughout that New Testament that tells us about that church, that body that we find him coming and purchasing. In fact, we've looked at passages last week that he purchased this church with his own blood in Acts 20 and verse 28. Unfortunately, down through the centuries, men have come up with many different religious groups and organizations, and so this study involves us asking questions to ourselves and to you when we look at scriptures concerning the founder of Jesus Christ, that he's the purchaser, he's the builder, he's the head and the savior and the lawgiver. And we asked the question last week, did Jesus Christ establish the church that you are a member of? We all have the responsibility to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. We need to be as the Bereans, that we are to be zealously endeavoring to search the scriptures to see whether the things that people are teaching us are true or not. The Bible is inspired of the Creator, but men today on this earth are not inspired. There are many people that would lead us to believe they are inspired of the Creator and they have some special connection with the Creator. But dear friends, if we let the inspired Word control our thinking, we will very easily realize and see that only those men that Jesus chose back in the first century were inspired concerning the New Testament teachings. And the New Testament is kept together by the Creator. It is inerrant. It is inspired of that Creator, and as it teaches, it is God-breathed. And so we can put all our faith and trust in it. So that brings us to our study today. We'll pick up where we left off. Next thing we're going to look at now is the foundation of this church that Jesus Christ established back in the first century. The foundation of this church is the Son of God. We find in Matthew 16:18, when he was answering Peter's statement that that he is the Christ, the Son of the living God, he said that what he just stated was true. And he said, upon this rock, that is the statement that Peter just made, that he is the Messiah, he is God the Son. And Jesus answered and said, upon this rock I will build my church. And this rock is Jesus himself, that truth that he is deity, he is God the Son. Many people today would want you to believe otherwise, but if you allow the inspired Word of God to control your thinking, dear listener, you will believe very strongly that this Jesus Christ that walked upon this earth almost 2,000 years ago is in reality the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God that took upon himself flesh and came down and lived among us and gave himself for us, that ultimate supreme sacrifice that you and I, through him, might have hope of eternal life. We also find that This foundation is a laid foundation. It's not something that just happened. There are a lot of people that try to get you to believe today that the church was kind of an afterthought of God, that, you know, the Jews wouldn't accept his kingdom, so as an afterthought, he established or set up the church, and that's just not true. In this study, I will show you that the church and the kingdom are one and the same in the New Testament, and you don't have to take my word for it, and I don't want you to take my word for it. I want you to go to a complete concordance and study all of the words that we're dealing with and the scriptures wherein they are found, and you will see that the church and the kingdom are one and the same entity that our Creator, the Son of God, established back in the first century. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 11, we read, "For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus." So we find that in this body, this church that he established, he is put forth here as this laid foundation, of which he is the one that laid this foundation. Also, if we go back and look at a prophecy concerning this entity, the kingdom, we find another term used, the tried foundation, or a tried foundation, in Isaiah chapter 28. So we'll turn there, Isaiah chapter 28, and we're going to read verse 16 of the prophet's prophecy there concerning this that we're speaking of. So in verse 16 it says, "Therefore thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am the one who has laid as a foundation in Zion a stone, a tested stone, a precious stone, a cornerstone of a sure foundation. Whoever believes will not be in haste." And so the prophet here was talking about the Messiah. Now we also find that those men that Jesus chose were involved in laying this foundation. And so we find the term, as some refer to it, the apostolic foundation, but built upon them. Let's look at Ephesians, back in the New Testament, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. In Ephesians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 19, a little of the context with verse 20. It says there, "So then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone." So here we have the picture that our Creator presents to us, that this church, this kingdom that Christ built, it's built upon the truth that he was the Messiah. And it's represented as he being the foundation. He laid the foundation, and he actually is referred to as the chief cornerstone. And the foundation is the apostles and prophets. Now, what that means, dear listener, is simply that when you study your Bible, you are reading the truth from the Creator through the men that his Son, Jesus Christ, selected to bring the truth. And you remember, we've spoken before in John chapter 14, 15, and 16 of scriptures that Jesus tells these men he chose, the apostles, that the Holy Spirit would come unto them after he went back into heaven. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, would come and guide them into all the truth. And so this truth that we have called the New Testament, this is what this kingdom or church is built upon, the truth that God has given to us. And that's what we're talking about when we're talking about the foundation of this one true church that we read about in the New Testament. So again, I ask the question, is Christ or man the foundation of your church? You and I have a responsibility before God to examine ourselves to see whether we're in the faith. And so whatever group we're worshiping God in, we need to examine that group with the New Testament scriptures concerning this church that we read about Christ establishing, and see if this church that we're a part of is following the same pattern that God gave us through his Son in the New Testament. And so we need to ask that. Now the next thing we'd like to look at this morning is its origin. Its origin. If you study your New Testament and you compare with the time dating factor of when this took place, the life of Christ, birth, life, and death, and resurrection of Christ, you will find that the origin of this church took place somewhere around AD 33, depending upon the calendar. There are some who put forth the proposition that the calendar has an error of 3 to 4 years within it. But whether that actually is true or not, it doesn't really matter. We know that this church was originated and begun on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. And this was somewhere around AD 33. So whether Christ died in AD 30 or AD 33, and we know that he died. We believe that because we believe the inspired divine word, and we see this in secular history. Also, there's evidence that this Jesus lived and died. We have secular substantiation on that, and everyone agrees that Jesus Christ lived and died on this earth. But there is debate and disagreement as to whether he raised from the dead and whether he was the Son of God. We, of course, that believe the Bible is the inspired Word of God, believe that, because that's what the Word of God informs us and tells us about. Now, remember, Jesus said back in Matthew 16:18 concerning this church, concerning this kingdom, that the gates of Hades would not prevail against it. You know, after Hades tried and failed to hold its builder, this was when the church was established upon the face of this earth. In Acts chapter 2, and looking at verse 31, it says there, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, excuse me, that he has not abandoned, or he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses, says the inspired writer, and those apostles were witnesses, and they had to be witnesses, eyewitnesses, of course, in order to even be selected to be apostles, as we see that taking place in the first chapter of Acts, when they replaced Judas's position by selecting Matthias. He had to have been with them from the beginning. The only exception to that, of course, was the Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who Jesus came directly to him and showed himself to him when he was going to Damascus to persecute more Christians. So in other words, we want to understand that this took place while the apostles lived in that generation. And the problem is, dear listener, we have people today teaching us in religious circles that the kingdom hasn't even been established yet, hasn't even been set up. But if you study a complete concordance and you study all the scriptures that have the word kingdom in it, you will find for yourself that the kingdom was established and set up back in the first century, and it was set up in Jerusalem and begun on the day of Pentecost. Well, let's look at a passage of scripture, excuse me, in Mark 9 and verse 1. Mark 9 and verse 1, one of the passages that help us to understand that the church or the kingdom was established back in the first century. And Jesus said unto them, truly I say to you, there are some standing here who will not taste of death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power. So I want you to understand there, first of all, the kingdom of God was going to come while some of those people were alive. In other words, in that generation, some of you standing here would not die. So that was in that time period back in the first century that the kingdom of God would come. And also I want you to remember that it would come with power. When Jesus was talking to the apostles in Acts chapter 1, just before he ascended back into heaven, if you'll turn to Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And always when I give you scriptures, you may be just writing them down. You don't have time to turn to them as I go through them. Write them down and put the thought next to the scriptures to study of what I'm trying to teach to you from the scriptures. But also study the context when I give you scriptures, or anyone does, because people take scriptures out of their context to teach doctrines that the Holy Spirit didn't teach. So in Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, it says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. So here we are. Jesus is talking to the apostles. He tells them to wait in Jerusalem, and power would come to them on high. He also told us, he already told us, Mark 9:1, that the kingdom of God would come with power. And now he tells them they're going to be his witnesses, beginning from Jerusalem and then spreading out to Judea and then to Samaria and to the end of the earth. Well, I want to stop here for a moment and remind all of the listeners that you are listening to Bible Talk on KFEQ 680 AM, which is presented by the County Line Church of Christ, meeting at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads. We're located just northwest of the new shopping area on the Belt Highway. Again, we invite you to worship with us Sunday mornings at 9:30 and then 10:20 for worship and then 4 p.m. for worship, and also Wednesday evenings at 7 for Bible study. If you would like to receive a Bible correspondence course through the mail, please leave your name and address at our phone number, which is area code 816-279-4737, and we will mail that to your address. And if you would like a home Bible study or any other Bible material that you would like to study any specific things, we'll do our best to try to get that information to you. Again, our phone number is area code 816-279-4737. We won't be coming to your home, of course, unless you ask us to. And so, getting back to our study then, we're looking at the origin of the Church of Christ that we read about in the New Testament. We're not talking about, I might make this point, because some listeners get confused and they think that when we talk about the one true church and its origin, that we're talking about that we can physically follow all the way back from today to the New Testament church, some physical line of succession, like some religious groups do. That's not what we're talking about, dear listener. That's not what makes a one true church. What makes a one true church is people just following the New Testament pattern, not adding to it or taking away from it. And so when we identify the characteristics of the one true church, then we examine the church that we're a part of, if we're involved in a religious group, to compare that church with the church in the New Testament. That's the goal of this study. We're not trying to say that we're the only ones that are right. If we don't follow the pattern, we're not right. And if anyone else doesn't follow this New Testament pattern, they're not right. So we encourage all to study their Bibles independent of any group and go to their New Testament and seek to be a part of that New Testament church. And, you know, when we're looking at the identifying characteristics of the New Testament church, we have to remember, it's just like, for example, if you lost a child and that child wandered off from home, you would call the police and you would tell the officer and give the officer exact descriptions of that child, what that child wore, how tall that child was, what the child looked like, the color of hair, etc. And the police would go out and search for that child to find your missing child. If the police came back to your house and brought a child that met all of the identifying characteristics but one or two of them, you would not accept that child and say, oh, that's good enough. Yeah, that's close enough. That's my child. That's absurd, and we all understand that. But when it comes to religion, people don't follow any known logical rules. They just say, well, it doesn't really make any difference. You can believe what you want. You can have any kind of church you want. You can call it anything you want. You can do anything you want religiously. And you know, it doesn't matter with God. He'll accept anything. No, I believe that. And I believe that's not a true teaching, because the scriptures tell us exactly what Jesus created, what he founded, what he established. The one true church that he died for, the pattern is there for us to follow. It's our responsibility to be true worshipers, as he tells us to be in John 4:23 and 24, to follow these identifying characteristics. In other words, we should be a church patterned after the New Testament church, and that's what we encourage all people to seek to do. course, that means we're going to have to stop doing a lot of things that we can't find authorized in the New Testament. And that's very difficult for people to do because they want to practice what they want. They want to please God the way they want. They want to put it on their level instead of God's level. So this lesson on the one true church is to encourage you, dear listener, if you're willing, to go to God's Word and to study it for yourself and to seek out to be a member of that one true church that you read about in the New Testament. And so going back to the scriptures that we're looking at concerning Jesus talking to the apostles, that the word, the truth, the power, the kingdom would go out from Jerusalem. We want to now go and look at that passage where this actually took place in Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4. So if you want to write that down or turn to it very quickly, we'll read Acts chapter 2 and verses 1 through 4, where it says there, "When the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all together in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And divided tongues as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And so here we see the example that Jesus had told them to wait in Jerusalem in the book of Luke. He said, "You tarry there, you wait there, and you're going to receive power from on high." And so this is what's happening in Acts chapter 2. We see the fulfillment. In fact, Peter, when he starts preaching, he quotes Joel, the prophet, concerning this time. This is when it was going to take place. And so Acts chapter 2 is the beginning of the establishment of the kingdom or the church upon the earth. Let's go read a verse in the Old Testament from the prophet Isaiah concerning the word of the Lord going forth from Jerusalem. Isaiah chapter 2 and verse 2 is a prophecy concerning this. There it says, "It shall come to pass in the last days," or the latter days, "that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established as the highest of the mountains, and shall be lifted up above the hills, and all the nations shall flow to it. And many people shall come and say, 'Come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the Lord of Jacob, or the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" So this is what we're talking about. This is a prophecy that was fulfilled, as is recorded in Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, some 50 days after Jesus Christ went back into heaven. One other passage we'll read before we close this morning is in Luke chapter 24, verses 45 through 49. In Luke chapter 24, verses 45 through 49, and I've referred to this a couple of times earlier, "Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and said to them, 'Thus it is written, that the Christ should suffer on the third day and rise from the dead, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high.'" Again, if you want to write that down to study it, that is Luke chapter 24, verses 45 through 49. And so another question I have for you, dear listener, did your church begin at Jerusalem on Pentecost around AD 33? That's the question that we have in this segment of our study. The next thing I want to look at is its designations by the apostolic authority. This is what we find again in the New Testament, because the New Testament, the Bibles, are creed books. So we don't have a creed book that some man wrote. We go to the scriptures for all the authority of what we believe and practice religiously. So we'll look at a few passages. We've got a few minutes left here. Excuse me. if my voice doesn't go out first. Of course, we've looked at Matthew 16:18. I will build my church. That's a term that Jesus used for this group, this entity. And notice again, it's singular. Now, some people have problems in saying, yeah, but there's local churches all over the place. And I said, and the answer to that, of course, and you should understand this because it's simple, that all of God's people can't meet in one place on the planet. So he allows us to have local assemblies. And these local assemblies are found functioning in the New Testament. As far as the whole kingdom or church, the universal church, you never find it assembling on the face of this earth. You never find it having any kind of organizational structure on the face of this earth. The only structure you find, physical entities, are local congregations where Christians came together and they did the acts of worship that God authorized them to do back in the first century. And that's what we have to do today. We don't have any authority to make any higher organizational structure than local congregations. The next thing we find is my kingdom, Luke 22 and verse 30. It says there, you are those who have stayed with me in my trials, and I assign to you, as my Father assigned to me, a kingdom, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and sit on the thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Another term that's used is the kingdom of heaven, Matthew 16:18-19. And of course, we've been referring to this scripture a lot, but this is one of the main scriptures that deal with the church, the kingdom that Christ established. So let's read that again. And it says there, I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Now I want you to notice here very carefully that Jesus Christ himself is using the words church and kingdom interchangeably here. And there are a lot of people today that try to get you to believe that the church and the kingdom are two separate entities. But they're not, dear listener, if you just follow your New Testament. The church and the kingdom is one and the same. And we have to understand that if we're going to have a proper understanding of this entity that Jesus came and shed his own blood for, died on the cross for. Another passage is John 3 and verse 5, and there we see the term kingdom of God. Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. So there, that term, kingdom of God, is used to talk about this entity, the kingdom of heaven, the church of Christ, the church of God, which we're looking at different terms. And we will continue the next time that we that I pick this up, probably week after next. Another passage is Luke 22:16, where it says, "For I tell you, I will not eat it until it is finished, fulfilled, till it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." Now that's Jesus speaking about the taking of the Lord's Supper. But notice he uses the term kingdom of God. So those are two passages. And of course, if you use your complete concordance, you can look all of these up for yourself to verify that the Holy Spirit used these terms. Well, our time's just about gone. So again, I want to thank you for tuning into Bible Talk this morning, presented by the County Line Church of Christ, which meets at the corner of County Line and Miller Roads in St. Joseph, Missouri. And we're located just at the top of the hill at County Line, northwest of the new shopping area on the North Belt Highway. Just come up North Belt to Cambridge Corners there at the top of the hill and turn left, and we're about a half a mile down the road on your right. We would like to invite you to worship with us, of course, Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. and Bible study at 10:20. Morning worship for morning worship, and then four in the Sunday afternoons for worship. And then Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. for Bible study. Again, we appreciate you listening and tuning in to Bible Talk. And we're making what effort we can to get people inspired to study God's Word, interested to open their Bibles and to study God's Word and seek truths on any religious subject that the Holy Spirit deals with for us in the New Testament, because we want all to be right in the sight of God. And so we pray that God will bless you in your search for His truth above all else. And we thank you for listening, and you have a nice day.